You'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 14. In just a moment, we will begin reading in verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. We're glad that you're here this morning. And if you're visiting, we're thankful that you've stopped in to be with us, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Maybe you have said to your friends or have asked them what they pay for certain things. You might say, well, what do you pay for internet? What do you pay for your phone service? We might ask somebody if they're from another state, what are you paying for gas where you live? From time to time, we might ask somebody what a particular item costs. And of course, if they're close friends with us, they don't mind divulging maybe even particulars. We might say to a close friend, well, what did you, if you don't mind me asking, what did you pay for that car? I don't think we've ever asked, I don't think I've ever been asked, what I pay for my religion. Have you ever asked anybody, what do you pay for your religion? How much does your religion cost? I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question. But you know what? It's a great question. And it's one that I want us to think about this morning. What are we paying for our religion? In Luke chapter 14, in verse 25, Luke records these words of Jesus. Now there went with him great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, if any man cometh unto me, and hates not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it? Lest haply, when he hath laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold him begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goes to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and asks conditions of peace. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt therefore is good, but even if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is fit neither for the land nor for the dunghill. Men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. In this parable of the building of the tower and the going to war, Jesus talks about counting the cost. And so I ask this morning, what does your religion cost you? If you don't mind me asking, what do you pay for your religion? In the American Standard Version that I use, the word cost is found only 3 times in all of Scripture. In other versions, it's used a few more times than that. And 2 of the 3 times that it is found in Scripture, it deals with our relationship with God. What are we paying? What is our cost? Seth asked you to think about the words of the songs and come up with the theme. I think it was easy for us to do that, right? Following Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But what we're going to talk about is the condition that Jesus laid down here with regard to our discipleship, and that is that we have to be paying a cost. And so this morning we're going to look at some of those costs in being a disciple, a true disciple. We know that we are willing to pay for things if it is valuable to us. We're willing to pay a price if it is valuable to us. There are some parents of some seniors this year who are sending kids off to college, and they know that that's going to be expensive. And we have some parents here with kids already in college, and we know that that's expensive. But the parents are willing to pay that cost of higher education because they know it's worth it. They know that it's worth getting that education and maybe the job that it will provide later in life. So they're willing to sacrifice, and parents will work and save and sacrifice so that their children can have that education, and they're willing to pay those higher prices. Businesses will do what it takes to pay extra money to keep their doors open. I know that over this past year, a number of businesses, especially smaller privately owned businesses, have had to spend extra money on different things so that they can keep their doors open during the pandemic. But they know that that's important because that's their income. Athletes will pay an extra cost in diet or training because they want to win the race. There are those who are married who will pay the cost with love and fulfilling their roles in communication and service because they understand the joy of having someone with them. There are parents who will pay the cost to have children. Jesse sent out a video just a couple of days ago. I typically don't bring grandparenting videos into the pulpit. I'll make an exception this morning. She put one in a couple of days ago. It had to do with changing a diaper, and it was kind of cute. But whether it's changing diapers or teaching or training or discipline or setting the right example or sleepless nights, especially early on, parents are willing to pay that cost because they know the beauty of having children. But this morning I want to ask the question, what are you paying for your religion? Jesus said that in order to follow Him, we're going to have to count the cost. Notice with me, starting back at verse 25, a few principles from this account. In verse 25, there went with him great multitudes. Notice, first of all, that there are a lot of people that want to follow Jesus. There are a lot of people that are out there following, but he's going to narrow down the crowd of true disciples and true followers by laying down some conditions. Number one, Jesus doesn't want just anybody and everybody. He wants those who are willing to truly follow Him. So there's this great multitude, and He didn't say, oh yeah, just everybody is good. No, we're going to narrow that down to those who are truly committed. Notice that. And then in verse 26, He says, if any man. This is true of males and females, young and old, rich and poor, educated and uneducated. It doesn't matter what color you are. Any man. This is for anyone. Number one, we're going to boil down the crowd to those who are truly committed. Number two, this is a universal condition that is placed upon anyone and everyone. All of us have to subscribe to this that we're talking about this morning. And number three, it's going to involve putting Jesus even over family, verse 26. The point has been made before, and I believe that it is valid, that Jesus is talking of, when he says hate, he's talking about loving him more than family members. In the book of Genesis, it was said that Jacob loved Rachel, but he hated Leah. probably what is going on there is that he loved Leah less. And if that's a parallel to this, then we find that we're to love Jesus more than even our own family. Another principle that comes out is at the end of verse 26, did you notice three times in our text this morning that Jesus said, he cannot be my disciple? This is non-negotiable. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion as to what he's talking about this morning. If you will not abide by these conditions that we're talking about this morning, you just cannot be my disciple. Now that's a hard pill for some people to swallow today when they want to be able to do anything and have everything, but that's not the case. We just simply cannot be a true follower of Christ unless we are willing to pay this price. This morning we're going to talk about some of the costs and some of the prices we pay in being a true disciple. What do you pay for your religion? Notice also in the text, in verse 28, twice Jesus says that a person sat down. What do you do when you sit down? The man sits down to plan out the tower. The other man sits down to plan out this war. What do you do when you sit down? It's a quiet time to contemplate and to seriously think about something. We live in a very busy world. There's all kinds of distractions. There's all kinds of noise. There's all kinds of voices. It's good for us to sit down with some quiet time and just to think and ponder, am I really committed to serving the Lord? Am I actually paying or counting the cost to be a true follower of Christ? It's time to sit down. And that's not just in becoming a Christian, that's in our daily service to Christ. If we're going to start something, we need to finish it. And if we're going to start a tower, we need to finish it. If we're going to make war, we need to finish it. And Jesus is saying that in order to follow him, we have to follow all the way through and finish it. It's not enough to start. And then he makes it clear in verse 33, it's not just about planning. It's about renouncing. Whosoever he be, whosoever. This is for anyone. This is for all of us. Not for a certain individual, but for any individual wanting to follow Jesus. If we will not renounce all that we have, we cannot be his disciple. It's about putting Jesus ahead of all other things. So this morning I want us to consider the price tag on being a follower of Christ. Have you ever done that? You've ever gone to the store, or you're ordering something off of Amazon. Sherry will do this. I'm going to order such and such. Well, what's my first question? What does it cost? That's our first question often. Well, what does it cost? And in being a disciple of Christ, one of the first questions needs to be, well, what does it cost? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. What does it cost? You know, it cost God something, didn't it? Did religion cost God something? It cost him his only begotten son, John 3:16. We're familiar with that. He gave his only begotten son. It cost Jesus something. We just studied recently 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Though he was rich, he became poor. Talking about what he left in heaven to come to the earth. It cost Jesus something. And we memorialized that this morning around the table. Bob read about the mocking and the poking fun of coming from those who claim to be religious leaders. I thought that was interesting. I was thinking about that in the Lord's Supper. people who claim to be religious leaders, they're setting a very poor example for everybody by mocking and insulting someone. But he endured all of that and much more. It cost Jesus something. It cost the Holy Spirit something to reveal the Word of God. We had a lesson some time back on the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that He is a person just like anyone is a person. He has feelings and emotions, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when people do not obey His Word, He's grieved. It cost God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit something. It cost the New Testament church and the apostles. Starting on the day of Pentecost, the apostles, Peter and John, immediately are persecuted there in Acts chapter 3, 4, and 5, and they're put in jail. And Stephen is stoned, and James is beheaded. It cost them something to begin the New Testament church. There's a cost. And this morning I want us to consider what it is for us. First of all, this morning I want us to consider that there is an emotional cost that we pay. We have emotions, and love is one of those emotions, and there is a cost that is paid because Christ demands that we love Him more than all, and our love is shown in keeping His commandments, John 14:15. When we become a disciple, we have to decide, am I going to love Christ and obey His Word and keep His commandments, or am I going to love the world? There is an emotional price tag that is paid. And are we willing to love Christ more than the world? Are we willing to love Him to the point of keeping His commandments, even though sometimes those commandments are challenging and they run contrary to maybe what we want or what the world has for us? Are we willing to say it is my duty to love the Lord and keep His commandments? There is an emotional cost. Have you ever been emotionally drained or strained over another relationship or something like that? Heartache and love and all those types of feelings and emotions. Do we feel that way with Jesus? There's an emotional cost that must be paid. And we must be willing to love Him and keep His commandments. There's an intellectual price tag that is to be paid. Christ demands that we know and understand His Word, that we have a knowledge of His will, that we read His Word and understand it. And we have to think through things. We have to use our intellect and our mind to reason and rationale with what the Scriptures teach versus what the world is saying. So, if the world says that there was a big bang and something came from nothing, and we go through all of that, we've got to reason through that and say, is it more reasonable to say that we came from a big bang, or is it more reasonable to say that because there is design in the universe, that demands a designer, a person? We've got to use our intellect. We've got to use our thinking. There's an intellectual price tag that needs to be paid. And some people aren't willing to do that, and you know that because they say, well, I think or I feel. They're not willing to sit down and reason with the Scriptures. When Paul was in the synagogue, he would reason with the Scriptures. Have you ever tried to reason with someone today? And their response is, well, I just don't feel that. Now, I didn't ask you about your feelings. I'm asking you to check in with your intellect. But I don't want to do that. Many people don't want to pay the intellectual price tag because they know that that involves some work. And that involves some examining of the Scriptures. And being intellectually honest with what is being said there. It's much easier just to dismiss it by saying, well, I just don't feel that. They're not willing to pay the intellectual price tag of being a follower of Christ. And that's why the Bereans in Acts 17:11 are described as noble, because they examine the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Have you ever tried to have a Bible study with someone and they'll say something, well, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to, you know, let's just put that away and let's just talk about feelings. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, speaking to those who are already Christians, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we willing, 2 Timothy 2:15, to rightly divide or handle accurately the word of truth? We need to be willing to pay that intellectual price tag to be a follower of Christ. There's a physical price tag that is to be paid. Christ demands that we use our bodily talents and our mind and our body and our talents to work in His kingdom. We're to be zealous of good works, and that involves physical activity. Now, this is where we lose some. Not here this morning, but you might lose some right here. You might lose some right here, just like you might lose some on that second point. Well, I don't want to use my mind to reason, and they've already checked out. On this one, you're going to lose some people in the world because, frankly, they don't want to physically get up and work. Christ demands that we be zealous of good works. That's why He died on the cross. Titus 2, verse 14. That passage talks about the grace of God. And it talks about Jesus dying for our sins, which everybody likes, but then it wraps up with us. We're to be zealous of good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we have good works that have been prepared by God. Are we willing to use and develop our talents to actually work in the local congregation, or are we like the one talent man in Matthew 25 who goes and buries that talent and just doesn't want to do anything? Christ wants us in our following of Him to be busy in physical work in the kingdom. Some of that involves here at the building, in and out of the building. Some of that involves working with individuals. Some of that involves evangelizing the lost. We have to physically get up. And our recliner at home may be comfortable, but we have to get up from time to time and do some work. And we're tired at the end of the day, and we're tired at the end of the week, those who are still in the workforce, and I understand that. But we have to have work also for the Lord's kingdom. And being a disciple means paying some costs, paying some prices to be pleasing to Him. There is a financial price tag. Because the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's work is financed by a free will offering, and the members here this morning at Warfield engaged in that. Christ demands a sacrificial free will offering every first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And God loves a cheerful giver. Yes. Actual money being contributed to do the Lord's work. A part of that was a part of building the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25, bringing of their free will offering. There have been different occasions throughout God's plan of redemption from the Old Testament to the New that involved us freely bringing our money, our things, and giving it to God's service. Christ demands that. And under the temple law, he saw the widow putting in her two mites in Mark 12, 41 through 43 and commended her for her great sacrifice because she gave of her want and necessity. Everybody else was just skimming off the top. It was not a sacrifice to them, but it was to her. What are you paying for your religion? Let's look at our giving. Let's look at our contribution. That's what we've been studying recently in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Make sure that we are giving back to the Lord. Some will do very little. They'll give God the leftovers after they've taken their vacation to Disney World or wherever. If there's a little bit left over, they'll put that in the plate. If they've already planned their summer vacation, if they've already spent their money on this or that, they'll do that. And if there's a little bit left over, we'll dig around in our wallet. If we see a little bit there, we'll throw that in the plate. But is it a cost? Is it a sacrifice? Jesus, again, remember, there's this big old crowd. And when Jesus begins to talk, you can just see the crowd whittling down. It just whittles down. Oh, you mean to tell me there is an emotional cost or an intellectual cost or a physical cost or a financial cost, and the group just gets smaller and smaller? But that's the kind of follower that Jesus wants. He was purposely trying to point out that it's not just about numbers and crowds and warm bodies. It's about true followers, and that's going to come about when people understand these conditions of counting the cost. Let's be a part of that crowd who's willing to pay that price. Have you ever been in that situation before where you look at the price tag and you're like, ah, that's a little steep, but I want to pay it because it's important to me, whatever it is, something you're buying off of Amazon or something in town. You believe that it's important to you, and being a follower of Christ is so important to us that we're going to pay these price tags when the rest of the world will not. You know, there is a price tag that is to be paid with regard to our time. Christ demands our time. And we are to buy up the opportunity. We are to redeem the time, for the days are evil, Ephesians 5:15. It takes some time to go out and have a Bible study with someone. It takes some time to get together with some brethren and build them up, or to visit the needy or someone who is sick or in the hospital, or to be benevolent, or to take something to somebody, to call someone, to text someone. It takes some time. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. It takes some time to come down here and work at the building. But it's important. What is the cost? To use our time wisely so that we have some time for the Lord. And we are tired and we are busy, those types of things. But we're going to pay the price tag of time and use that in the Lord's service. Let me talk about two more price tags, and I've left these two to the end because I believe in some respects they are, for many people and maybe us, are probably some of the most challenging. And that is that there is a price tag with regard to relationships around us. Christ demands that we come out of the world and not be of the world. And that's very difficult for some people to do. We are not to be conformed to this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are to come out and be separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5, 11. We are not to love the world. 1 John 2, 15. We are in the world, but not of the world. John 17. We work with worldly people, we live among them, we're nice, but we don't engage in the sins and the ideologies that they have. We don't engage in that. And for some, that's a price tag that's too high to pay. We're supposed to have faithfulness over friendships. And that's a cost. Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. It's hard for some to pay that price. It's hard. I can be with Paul or I can be with the world. And he chose the world. It's hard for some to pay that price. But it can and must be paid in order to side with Jesus. Are you and I willing to pay that price? And then last of all, in our scripture reading this morning in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and we even see it in our reading of Luke 14, that Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Probably one of the hardest things to pay, the highest price to pay, is the denial of self. To move self out of the way and let Jesus be in charge. Christ demands that we deny ourselves and let Him be in charge. To submit to His will each and every day and not our own. But brethren and friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that if you'll pay these price tags, if you'll pay and make these costs, it will be eternally worth it. I want to close this morning by getting us to think about cheap religion. When some hear these costs and they see these price tags, they want to do with Christ what we will sometimes do, and there's nothing wrong with doing it. We will sometimes talk with a store owner and say, can you reduce the price a little bit? People want to do that with Jesus. Is there some way that you could reduce the price of discipleship? Could I have a cheaper religion than what you are offering? Could I have a bargain basement religion? Could I have a 50% off sale religion? What's happening today, brethren, is that mainline denominations are losing their members. 1/5 to 1/3 of mainline denominations have lost members over the past 30 years. Why? Because they're offering a watered down discipleship. Salvation has been replaced with politics. Spirituality has been replaced with social activities. And the Lord's church, among some, are finding themselves doing the same thing. So what is happening is this. People have been coming to religion, and they're seeing that it's now being watered down. The high bar that Jesus sets in Scripture has been so lowered, they're sitting there going, this is no different than what I get out in the world. Why should I even keep coming to this place? And they stop coming. Large church buildings are now being sold for other kinds of venues. They're not even full of religious people here in Clarksville, Tennessee, all around the world. There are major stories coming out of Europe now, and we're about 10 years behind Europe. The big mainline denominations in Europe, nobody's going to those buildings anymore. They're completely empty. Completely empty. They're rec centers. They are other types of buildings. They're businesses. But it's not religion anymore. And one reason is, for the past 30 years, the people in charge have been offering a cheap, watered-down religion. Just accept Jesus as your personal savior is what's being said, but the demands of discipleship have been dropped. And so, if you tell people over and over and over again that being a disciple of Jesus is just super easy, there's no cost involved, they're going to quit coming because they can get that out in the world. Here is where you're supposed to get something different, something more noble, something higher to aspire to. And when they're not getting that, they quit. Let us not have a religion that doesn't cost us anything. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24, and we'll close with this. The second place where cost is used of a relationship with God, you recall, is with David. When he offered up his sacrifice, Araunah said, I'll give you whatever you need to offer up that sacrifice. And David said, no, I want to purchase it for myself. Why, David? I do not want to offer up, neither will I offer unto Jehovah my God, which cost me nothing. 2 Samuel 24, 24. I don't want a freebie religion. I don't want a cheap religion. I don't want a bargain basement religion. I don't want a religion where everybody gives me the free handout. I want to pay a price myself. That's what makes our service, brethren, more meaningful. When we have skin in the game, so to speak, when we pay the cost, when we work hard for it, isn't that the way you feel when you go out and just buy things at home? When you worked hard for it and you sacrificed, it means more to you. It's the same way in religion and in our discipleship with Jesus. Not to mention the fact that God just wants us to pay the cost. That aside, it's more meaningful and real, not only for us, but for our children. When God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity, in Malachi chapter 1, they were offering up God a cheap religion. They were giving God the blind and the lame. And in Malachi 1, 10 through 14, they said, oh, what a weariness it is to be here. When we don't pay the cost, we don't even like what we're doing. We're miserable in our religion. We go through the motions, Malachi 1, 10 through 4, just going through the motions. They didn't want to be there. They're giving God the leftovers. When we don't pay the cost, number one, people just quit. Or if they keep coming, they don't really like it. But when we pay that price in all of these different areas, it's so much more meaningful to us and to the Lord. Let us make a religion this morning that costs something. I've mentioned some of those costs. There are others. I've mentioned some of the ones that have come to my mind. Let's not give the Lord the scraps and the leftovers of our heart, but pay the price.
And Jesus said that if you want to come and follow me, you need to pay that price. I'm sure that when he got done speaking, that crowd probably shrunk a little bit, if not a whole lot. Just like in John chapter 6, after he had given a whole lesson on commitment there, under the figure of eating my body and drinking my blood, it said that some walked away. Christ's demands of discipleship are very demanding. They're very high. And that's what separated him from the other religious leaders of the day. Kingdom discipleship is very demanding. But let's pay that price because we know that it is eternally worth it in heaven. If there's someone here this morning that needs to begin to pay that cost and that price and come and be baptized into Christ, we would encourage you. If there's a child of God that needs to come back in some way, we can pray for you and help you. But let's pay that price tag. And we know that we can be with the Lord in heaven if we'll be willing to do that. The world around us doesn't want to have anything to do with that. But you keep paying that cost and that price, it'll be eternally worth it. If we can help you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?